So that last line of Yitzayin Abed Aleph, that was the one point we didn't get to yesterday. Who? Okay, so first let's just be Mazri the Gemara, and then we'll have a chance to really think about it more deeply. So, what's the Maimer of Rav?
That they need to, have the ability to, of Rav, and to say that
Hold on 1 second before we get to. So, Ein Woshim is an Hedron Lamisha de la Taras Asharetz Mina Torah. They have to be able to. Right. That's like a way of saying, like, that's like, I don't know, halachic jujitsu. Maybe that's what we meant by balik shafim. Sometimes you can hear Rabbi Jachter walking around the teacher's room saying, Tires of Sharetz, Tires of Sharetz. It's one of his favorite things. So it means, like, you know, something unbelievable, right? It's like, you know, it became an expression. Tovel v'sharetz biado, right? It's like tuma incarnate. So this doesn't sound like chachma. This sounds like super chachma. So if you were wondering, yesterday we raised it as a question, with this in mind, like, what does Balei Chachma mean? Balei Mara, Balei Koma, Balei Chachma is right in the middle, right? So, like, we've already established Chachma. But this doesn't, assuming that this is a hemshech of the previous line, which I acknowledge is an assumption. So it sounds like this is a whole different madriga, right? If you just take a look at the answer isn't so important for now. So Rabbeinu Tam says, I don't even understand what kind of, like, why would this be desirable? He calls it Harifa Shel Hevel, like sophistry. It's like somebody, like, you know, your father interviewing a candidate for a junior associate and saying, like, prove to me that the First Amendment to the Bill of Rights doesn't really protect freedom of speech. Like, right? That's like the equivalent, right? To be Mataris Asheretz. Like, and what's the point anyway? Like, why would you give an assessment like that? Because in the end, the Bill of Rights does actually protect freedom of speech. So then we have this story. So Rav, right, if that's the proper gear, so then he calls his own number. He says, and I can do it. I'm not trying to exclude myself from the Sanhedrin. But it turns out that it's harder than it looks. So what's his Kal V'chomer? He has a Kal V'chomer shell, you know, shtus. He says, a nachash, which kills, right, a venomous snake, and it's marbet tum in the world by killing all these people. And it itself is tahor. It doesn't have tumas nevela, sheretz, right? Some creepy crawly thing. She'eno mamis. They're not dangerous. They're just gross. That's what I'm always telling my wife. It's a bug. Might not be so appealing, but it's not dangerous. It's dangerous to me. It's dangerous to my health. But anyway, sheretz she'eno mamis umar betuma, it doesn't generate. So, you know, din she'hei tahor. So the Gemara says that's a silly kal v'chomer. Velohi midi dehava kutz balma. There's also plenty of things like bricks and sticks and javelins, you know, that aren't themselves objects of tuma and yet are marbe tuma in the world. So what kind of raya are you bringing from a nachash? All right, so I guess Rav would respond. You know, I was only talking about Balei Chaim, whatever. So it turns out it's not so easy to be Mitaris Asheretz. So this line in the Gemara, assuming I think it is a reasonable assumption that it's a hemsheikh of the previous line, establishes something more than just standard chachma. Even if Rabbeinu Tam is dismissive, it is harifus shel hevel. So let's take a look at the Rambam. All right, let's pause to acknowledge Shimon Ross. That's what you said yesterday, right? Okay, so let's see how the Rambam put it together. Ooh. So this is now right going beyond. The Rambam talked about the Beis Din Shel Shlosha. He talked about Chachma, which we thought included Tivuna, because how could it not? Right, as one of the virtues. But this is Chachamim Unevonim, right? The Rambam writes it explicitly, more dramatically, Muflayin b'chachma satara. I think that's a very good distillation of Yecholin l'tayar sasharetz. Right, it's a wonder. It's a pella. It's like it's wondrous. Nobody would have thought that could have been the outcome. Well, that part seems to be Balik Shafim, right? Darchim Onanim Kosvin Bechashvin. Oh, so this question how to read this Rambam, especially what that expression of Kadesh Yula Yodin Ladonosam, is that specific just to Avodah Zarah, Lo Silmad Lasos, Avotah Lomed, Lahoros, the famous Maimer Chazal, or maybe it applies to everything after the term V'yodin Ksas Mishar Chachmos, Refuos, Chashmos, Kufos, and Mazalos, that is to say, Sheyu Yodin Ladunosam, so that they're in a position to know how to adjudicate them. More on that in just a minute. But the point being that unlike Rashi, who was talking about things like ferreting out, mechashvin, who are trying to either subvert justice, who are meses umediach, the Rambam, if that reading is correct, is saying that you need all of these things for purposes of din, so that they know how to handle these cases. You have to know something about these things to be able to adjudicate a case about them. Now, Shimon, apropos that point, how would you say that fits into the Rambam Lishitaso here, the way that you read the Gemara? I'm obviously suggesting it's machlokas between Rambam and Rashi, but you're in very good company here, maybe the best company of all. So,
the fact that any Sanhedrin would necessarily get these kinds of cases.
Ah, beautiful. Right, that's not only outstanding. It's not only the Sanhedrin Agdola. For Rashi, it sounds that way, right? Because what in the world does that have to do with din? So look, Shimon, this is something true that in life. I mean, if you were dealing with a case of Avodah Zarah, so you'd have to know a little bit about Avodah Zarah to figure out whether something happened. Is it Darko Bekach or Eno Darko Bekach? And of course, the same thing is true about, Kishuf of different sorts. You'd have to know, what it is. I was, Rabbi Weider came to our shul yesterday. He was giving a series on Pas Haba Bekisnin and, the most important question in Yiddishkeit and all the Doros, which of course is whether or not one should wash on pizza. Probably the most pressing question facing Klal Yisrael, now and forever. So Derech Agav, just a funny story. So I make the kids, we have a Motzei Shabbos learning program. Did I ever tell you this before? If I did, stop me. So I make the kids wash on pizza because I don't accept that pizza is a snack, unless in exceptional cases of TABC students, and there's a dinner scheduled for later that night. But I still hold it's probably two dinners. So all the parents complain. They say, what is this? I say, because they're Kovei Yisud. Are you planning on giving them dinner afterwards? No, of course not. Are you crazy? So I said, so then pick your, either forgive them dinner afterwards or wash, So anyway, he we were talking about waffles, right? Waffles, it's, you pour it into this, mold or griddle, whatever. So he said he was having a machlokas with his wife, whether you should wash on waffles if you're you know, Kaveh Suda, like, you know, one of these. My son David is a character in his book in the morning that we like to read called Kenny the Bear. Kenny the Bear eats a tremendous breakfast. So he's Kaveh Suda on his waffles, but he has other things too, but the waffles. So would Kenny the Bear wash on waffles? So Rabbi Weider was having a machlokes because he said, yeah, he thinks he, you know, it'd be possible to kiss him, you know, and you know, if you're Kaveh Suda. So he went to Rav Shechter, said, Rebbe, should a person wash on waffles if they're Kaveh Suda? What's a waffle? So he said, well, you know, it's like this. He goes, yeah, well, then of course. You know, you have to know what a waffle is. And once he explained to him what a waffle was, he was able to. But, you know, there's some areas where it's not like, you know, I could probably do a reasonably good job explaining what a waffle is. Not great, but it's hard. I have a cousin very close with. He used to live around here, and then he moved to Silver Spring, and he's in he's a intellectual property attorney. He's a very bright guy, and that's like in law, he started out in a PhD program and like realized he wouldn't be able to support his family, so you know he wanted to get a job that would represent gainful employment, but he wanted to be intellectually stimulated. He's always up for an intellectual challenge. So basically the way that stuff works is like you have to, he like spends 6 months immersing himself in like organic chemistry to understand how a molecule works. And he, you know, like he'll go to his office, you'll see like 6 or 7 open organic chemistry textbooks. Like no lawyers do that, it's crazy. But like intellectual property lawyers, they really are, like that's the, you know, people who are really into intellectual challenges, that's a very good field for them. He loves it. So for him to be able to argue the case, you know, on behalf of whatever, Merck or whatever, you know, these multi-billion dollar international corporations who are looking to protect their multi-billion dollar patents from infringement, you know, and he has to be able to describe what is unique about it. So you have to really understand something about it. How the judges figure these things out, Hashem only knows, right? You really do wonder about that sometimes. But he says they have some very smart judges too, which I believe. But the point is that the Rambam says, Kideshi Yodin Ladonosam. So you can't just, you know, you don't have to be the world expert in but enough to be able to figure out, was that Kishuf or is this guy an illusionist on the bar mitzvah circuit? You know, which one is he exactly? You should be able to know the difference. So there's something, you know, about that. It's really interesting. Apropos this point, like just to give an example, I was once talking to somebody who's both a very good friend and also senior to me and it's a recognized posek. So we were talking to him about this question as a, you know, to sort of come up with a middle ground. I didn't think it was Heter Gamor, I didn't think it was Isser Gamor. He thought it was Heter Gamor. And he said something really interesting based on his knowledge of the field, which was, I thought, really a good example of this. He was saying that illusionists Bedafka today would be offended if anybody thought that they were doing what they were doing, like based on a ruach hatumah. Like their whole sense of what makes them great at what they do is that they're quick and that they're crafty, but not that they're like that there are demonic forces that they're operating. So I thought that was really interesting. I'm not sure if that's true or it's not true, but I thought that was really interesting. He was making a point, an internal point, that he didn't think that there was any chashash of kishuf. Whatever. So it's that kind of thing that the Rambam is saying, which is l'shitaso, Shemot is correct in that respect, that it's predicated on the capacity to be done. And then we would have a machlokas between Rashi and the Rambam on two fronts. And it's Habba Hatalia. Why do you need to know a little bit about Kishuf v'chulei? Well, the Rambam will tell you, because it's Shayach Ladun. V'meila, it applies to the Sanhedrin Ketana. The Rashi will tell you because, you know, these people represent threats to society. You know, the Bez Nagadol has to Like Aglarufa is a threat to society. Murder is a threat to society. So fugitives who are using Kishuf and, you know, a person who's a Mesa Sumediach who's using Kishuf. So these people are threats to society. Just one second. Then you could go back and be Mechalik within the Rambam. Right? Because the Rambam is listing then essentially two different categories. Chachamim Devonim, Buflaim Bechach Masatora, Bale Dea Meruba, almost like semicolon. V'yodin, Ksas Mishar Chachmos, V'chulichulichul, Deshiu, Yodin Ladon Osan. So there are intrinsic qualities that you'd want. Chachamim Devonim, Buflaim Bechachma, Bale Dea Meruba, incredibly deep, wide thinkers. And then, you know, having some knowledge of other tchumen so that they are then able to be done. So there are two different issues here. Now, before we continue on with the Rambam, I think Shimon had a point, and then we'll continue on just to, yeah.
So did you say that the Rambam and Rashi kind of read the thing with the idea about Kishuv as if it's like specific or general? I mean, for Rashi, the way Rashi describes it, it's a specific issue because there's specific ways that you could utilize these skills like in specific cases. But for the Rambam, Kishuv is just an example of one of, obviously you use a lot of examples, one of many things that would be like a useful skill for being a diet.
I think so. I think that's exactly right. Okay. Now just to move to the next part of the Rambam. Ve'in mamidin. So this is now very interesting. The Rambam doesn't qualify here. He just says Eid Mamidin B'Sanhedrin. He doesn't say Bein B'Gdola Bein B'Ktana. It could be that he was just relying on what he said before. It could be that this is different. And he cites the Pasuk V'Yisyatzfu Sham Imach, which is the Pasuk of the Rabbanan. But what's the difficulty? Notice I can't pick up on this. V'Yisyatzfu Sham Imach was used to... Right, they use that for 71, right? Vinasu itach, or v'akel melecha vinasu itcha. So, really interesting. So there's a lot here, obviously. So let's start with the Lecha Mishnah and try to make our way through to unpack Shitas HaRambam. So mashkasav le'el, de'be'echad yodeh lishma, ve'echad yodeh l'daber sagi. So Lecha Mishnah, you'd have to say true to form, says what? That these qualities that the Rambam lists, Ein Mamidin B'Sanhedrin V'Gdola V'Gitan El Anashim Chachamim Devonim Muflain B'Chachma Satora B'Aleidea Meruba Yodin V'Chule V'Chule, what's his shita? Yeah. That would just be like, you know, maybe it's like a pipe dream. Lasso Sanhedrin Shein Lamala Himena. About Mikol Makom, the two or the three, if it's a Sanhedrin Beinonis, or four, if it's Sanhedrin Chachma, so they would actually, to qualify for that, you know, encomium, they would really need it. So I'm not sure. I'm going to stick to what I said before. If the Rambam says, Ein mamidim b'sanhedrin, el anashim chacham nevonim, v'flaim b'chachma satara, b'alideya meruba, v'yodin k'sas shar chachmas, v'chulei v'chulei, and quotes a pasuk in the Chumash, I don't have the impression that that's like a, you know, best case scenario, l'chatchila. Ein mamidin, ela, means don't do it unless. V'harayo, when the Rambam said earlier on, this is in Perek Aleph, with respect to what the criterion were for a Bez and Trelesh and Vishalos in the city, he said, of course, there are population requirements. You have to have 120, and you also have to have people in the city of a certain caliber. Look at what the Rambam says. Kol ir, she'eba shnei chachamim gidolim, Or alafim. Probably say thousands. So Lacha Mishnah is obviously saying, look, this can't be really that different than Anashim Chachamim Nevonim Uflain B'Chachmas HaTorah. And the Rambam presumes a scenario where to establish the Sanhedrin, you only need two of these people, not 23 of these people. I would say, Meichatesi. I think when the Rambam describes what his criterion is for the Sanhedrin, to sit on the Sanhedrin, he talks about a very high madrega, Chachamim Nevonim, Muflain, or maybe at the year said Muflagim, but Chachmas HaTorah. When the Rambam talks about a prerequisite to establish that Sanhedrin, I think the Rambam talks about Roy Lalamir Lahoros B'chol HaTorah Kula. So it seems to me that the Rambam is saying that there are madregos. When it comes to a Bezdin Shel Shlosha, there's a certain level of Chachma. When it comes to a Bezdin, a Sanhedrin Kitana Shel Chav Gimel, there's a higher level of Chachma. But to have the requirements to establish that Sanhedrin Kitana, you need at least two people in the town who are even beyond that. And if that's true, and I suspect it is, it would allow us to say that the Rambam Perek Aleph and the Rambam Perek Beis are totally consistent with each other, and we don't have to reread the Rambam. You could have a person who's a mufla b'chachmas haTorah, who's extraordinary, and I'll prove it in a second based on the Gemara, completely remarkable, but isn't Ra'i Lahoros B'chol HaTorah Kula. Gemara says, in the generation of Rabbi Yehuda, all of their Limud HaTorah was in Nezikin. And when they would get to relatively simple questions of Taros, they would say, Havayos Da'abayi V'Rava Kan. That's obviously an expression. So Abayi and Rava lived after them. But meaning, wow, this is really difficult stuff. Because Taros wasn't so much on the radar. Not that they were incapable of it, but one of the major Siddurim of Shas wasn't studied. I remember when I was learning in Kollel, there was somebody who hadn't learned Yevamos. Not that I was a world expert in Yevamos, but, you know, when I was your age, I learned all the Mishnayos of Yevamos, and then I learned the first 14 blot or so. Back in the good old days, the Beis Shur and Beis Medrash, when that was the place to be. So it's like, you know, holding the basic mechanics of Yevamos. And he said, like, I remember he was like, oh, he was amazed. You know, why? Because, not because I was smarter than him, it's because I had, whatever, you know, I exposed myself to this. It wasn't so. Breadth, Rai Lami Lahoris, Bechala Tarakula, something a little bit different. In the generation of Rabbi Yehuda, they had gigantic Talmidei Chachamim who weren't holding in Shisha Siddurim. It's not the same. Obviously, you know, the best is to be able to have all the breadth and the depth in the world. But it doesn't necessarily have to come, you know, have to come together. Okay. Point number one. Number two, the Kesef Mishnah quotes the name of the Ramach. But by implication, which part of the question does bother him? Yeah. Okay, so there in Kesef Mishnah, Rabbi Yosef Karo thought it was a little bit of a tame. Why do the Dayanim have to know anything about medicine? Okay. He doesn't have a hard time figuring out, you know, Tkufos and Cheshbonos. And Chachmas HaMazalos, they have to be able to intercalate the calendar. It's one of the hardest areas of Halacha, of Hilchos Kiddush HaChodesh. You see Rabbi Weider, I just mentioned him, he's like an expert in that particular tchum. The Radvaz, for his part, this is an answer that I find very difficult. Vim Tomar. So the Radvan says it's nogeya to two areas. One of them is obviously Ritzicha, and the other is Hilchos Refua B'Shabbos. Well, the Kesef Mishnah couldn't have figured this out. See, like Rav Yosef Karo, like the all-time geniuses who ever lived, was sitting there racking his brains, and the answer is Hilchos Refua B'Shabbos and Ritzicha. It can't be that he didn't contemplate that. Anybody want to make a suggestion as to what Rav Yosef Karo might have been thinking? Why wouldn't you have to? I mean, these are obviously halachic questions that come up.
But if there is a significant need that you're against the father to ask the question, you probably should be saving the person.
Okay, all right, so that's true. I mean, the Yerushalmi says, Anishal HaRezim Aguna, Shal HaRezim Shabbat Lamim, yeah.
Can I just ask the doctor?
Okay, so I think that is what was on the Kesef Mishnah's mind. So he wasn't prepared to give that as a stock answer like the Radvaz did. So I wanted to show you two Rambams that I think have to be understood, in context, to be able to, I think, get at a very clear answer of what the Rambam meant when he said in Hilchos Sanhedrin Perek Beis that Refuos is on that list of Shar Chachmos Sheyodin Ladonosam, and I would say, yeah, for purposes of Ritzicha, and yes, for purposes of Shabbos, and you see here, of course, Yom Kippur as well. But why, the Kesef Mishnah was both hesitant, based on the Lashon of the Rambam, and ultimately, I think what the Yishuv is, how we could put all the Rambams together. Okay, so let's take a look at two passages in the Rambam. One of them is Hilchos Shabbos, one of them is Hilchos Shvisas Asar, and I want to make a very important point about how I understand the halachic process to work, and what the Rambam's Shita was about how all this is coming together, and what we can take from it, midos hadayanim, writ large. Okay, sorry, I'll take away. Hilchos Shabbos. Now that's a very big chiddush, because Shabbos isn't like the rest of the mitzvahs, right? Shabbos is connected kol haTorah kula. It's like Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah isn't nidche seitzel sakanas nefashos. How do we know? We learned the Gemara this year. Immediate, b'chol misrapin, chutz. That's the answer for the rest of your life. That's always the correct answer. P'sachem dav chafei. Okay? Hence, the Kesef Mishnah, it's the Rabbi Yosef Karo, was going to answer, right? It's all done, al pi rofei uman. You have to be insane, psychotic, but you're going to start being machnes roshcha to try to tell the doctor, right? It's not necessary. Crazy. So there's both a refua safek, meaning safek shutzer chalav shabbos safek shenu tzarech, or there's a machlokes. Both of those are nigdar al pi halacha as a safek. And what's the point? Safek nefashos is docha shabbos, even sfek sveka, even sfek sveka sveka. Okay, good. One Rambam. Second Rambam, Rambam Hilchos Shvisas Asor. Not quite as chamor as Shabbos, but one notch down from Skila down to Kares. So that's the halacha, what we call Lev Yodea Maras Nafsho. Very important halacha. that if you have somebody who's taka chola misukan, right, and this isn't saying like Levi de Amaris Nafsho, you have a high schooler who's totally healthy, and the doctors say, yeah, he's totally healthy, and he says he needs to eat, we wouldn't feed him. Like, that's not what we mean. You have to have a status of a chola misukan. Okay? So the doctors can say, no, this person has a life-threatening condition, but fasting is not going to make any kind of a difference. We're in the midst of treating the life-threatening condition. We will tell you if it does, right? So, but the patient who's a chola misukan says, I need to eat, that's a halacha called Levi Yodei Amaris Nafsho. It's an amazing idea that the halacha deemed that a person has some self-awareness that even the most learned, erudite outside party cannot fully understand. Good. Amr HaChola. This is, by the way, the much more likely case. Unfortunately, you have this all the time. The job of the Rav is to say, B'derech Shemoshe Chesalev, this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to do. HaKadosh Baruch Hu specifically wants you to eat on Yom Kippur. That is your mitzvah. It's a... again, emotionally very difficult for people, obviously. But Amar Chola Eini Tzarech, Harav Yom Tzarech, Machilin Oso Al Piv. Right, that's where, again, you have to go in gently, because people feel very guilty and very badly, and please remember this, going to the Rabbanos, you do it with tremendous sensitivity, the fact that people feel very badly and embarrassed, and, you know, nobody wants to break their fast on Yom Kippur, obviously. But it has to be done. B'derech Shem Moshe Chasalev. Lo aleinu, that people, you know, die or have an aggravation of a life-threatening condition because they, you know, they fast out of a misguided sense of piety. You wouldn't say, you don't yell at them and say, what, do you want to be a chassid shota? You have to, you know, go in with a gentle touch and make sure that by the end, whatever the end is, they agree that this is what they have to do. Good. Critical line. That's not surprising, right? That's what we saw by Shabbos. Because in that situation, even if all the doctors are against him, right? Okay. They're all Bekian. Ve'elu she'amru eino tzarech, k'minyan she'amru tzarech, machilin osa. So who wants to tell me how you put all the Rambams together? The Rambam Sanhedrin, the Rambam Shabbos, the Rambam Shvisas Asor. I totally agree, Eitan, with you, that the Kesef Mishnah held off from saying that because he says, look, every time the Rambam discusses Refuah, he always says, Alpi Rofe Uman, Alpi Rofe Baki, right? So he is saying, so why would you need to know? Right? And the Radvaz is a really interesting answer. He says, because they have to be done on the poisons or the natural. So what's the Yishuv? What does the Rambam say? Micah? What's the role of the Rav? Wow. Okay. So he says, let the rabbis handle it on their own. Okay. It's a little frightened, you know. Dine de fashos. I would always be Mekel, you know. I would seriously not. Like, you know, I couldn't take responsibility for that. Ariel?
I would say that maybe the rabbis and the lead halachas themselves. If you have two doctors, there's one doctor, he and the
doctor. Okay, but the rabbis said he needed to know refuos, not just the halachos have had a... It's a given that he knows... those halachos. But there's still another way. Eitan?
If they're telling someone that they have to eat on Yom Kippur, that they have to break Shabbos, they're not going to be happy with it unless they're sure that they don't know what they're talking about. So they should know a little bit medicine in order to ensure that.
Okay, that I think is the issue. That I think is the issue. There's a presumption, and I think that it comes in many flavors, but let's try to delineate them clearly. And the Rambam says, Vushaye Rofe Baki. So you have to know a little bit about medicine to know what qualifies a person as a Rofe Baki. Okay, so I assume every seventh grader knows that if you have a question about a heart, you don't ask a gastroenterologist, you'd ask a cardiologist. Hopefully by the time you're in 11th grade, you know, you'd be looking for somebody, you know, who did a residency. And then you realize that there are fellowships out there. Then you realize that not every place is created equal, right? And so to be able to determine who has a chaloshim baki, right? The doctors are not necessarily going to say, I'm not the expert, or this person is a bigger expert than I am. So you have to, first of all, know enough to know how to present the question, to know enough how to respond to the question. Like, you know, sometimes people operate with an assumption that, you know, like that the question means posing a question and then you just get a response and that's the other. It's usually a conversation. This is what this, sometimes you have to have the doctor speak directly to the patient because it's that, the congregant, whatever, it's that complicated. You know, it's a 45-minute conversation. But if you don't know what they're talking about, it's impossible to render a proper halachic judgment. Again, this is without the Rav playing doctor. This is just in terms of understanding who is the Rofei Baki to be able to present things in an appropriate fashion and to receive the information in an appropriate fashion. And that prevents both being excessively makil and saying, oh, there's any condition and we should reflexively throw Yom Kippur or Shabbos out the window. Meidach gisa, even worse, you know, making an assumption that something is stable when there's a, and the Rav needs to ask probing questions. Is this really stable? Is there a chashash that this could happen? Is there a chashash? And very often the doctor says, yeah, that could be. You would have to, and that already qualifies. Right? And the doctor's not going to tell you usually, bivadai, they're going to die. The doctor says that would be risky. That would be risky means a safek. And you have to know how to process that. So to be able to participate in these, I understand very well what the Kesef Mishnah is going to say. In the end, you should always be operating al pi rofei uman as best as you possibly can. We're very fortunate in New York City to be in the presence of, you know, major academic medical centers. Major academic medical centers in the United States of America. You know, we, not everybody has such a, you know, these opportunities. You know, in majors in cities, yeah, you have these things, but you don't have them everywhere in the country for sure. But that's a big schus to be able to partner with such people and know that your Ms. Palim are getting the best medical advice possible. But at the end of the day, to be able to handle these issues, the Rabbanim or the Dayanim, let's say in the case of Ritzicha, and some poison was administered, no, that's a very complicated issue. You have to hear expert testimony. A poison was administered that caused the cardiac arrest. And you're trying to figure out to what extent is this person, are we going to be done this person, Mishum Ritzicha? And the doctors are saying, well, the truth is, we're not entirely sure if the fact that his cholesterol was very high and he had very high blood pressure and he had just been abusing narcotics or whatever. So we're not entirely sure to what extent this poison would have been a lethal dose under other circumstances. So you have to be able to assimilate all of that information to render a psak halacha. So the issue is understanding what the Rofim say, understanding who the Rofim Bekiim are. That's not such a simple thing. One of the greatest frustrations that I personally had in COVID was that was a pandemic, as you may call, and pandemics are part of a medical field called epidemiology. So epidemiologists are al pi halacha, the rofim bikiyim, also an infectious disease. So if somebody says, I have three epidemiologists that are telling us that this is what community spread does, right? If 1% of a population is going to die of this disease, and 1,000 people have the disease, so that's very sad. 10 people are going to die. If 100,000 people have the disease, so you're talking about a catastrophic. 1,000 people are going to die. If 10 million people have it, 100,000 people are going to die, right? And that's what the epidemiologists are telling you. And then a pediatrician is saying, I'm not so worried about community spread. You have to know, al pi halacha, if you're going to hold dominion or not, who are the rofim bikiyim in this tchum? How do you define a rofei baki? Not everybody is created equal. It's an improper psak to rely on inferior medical information. So how do you know that it's inferior? Well, you'd have to know something about refuah to know that. There are people who had they'd never heard of it before. And people say to me, I never heard of epidemiology. I said, that's not encouraging. I mean, I don't really care in general, but especially if you're going to, then disregard what they're telling you, that's very troubling. This is what they do. They study the spread of disease. They study, infectious diseases in populations. Yes, very smart people spend all day thinking about these things. So you have to know that to be able to interact and ultimately to render psak. So the Kesef Mishnah, I believe, I can't prove this, I can't prove a negative, but I think his hesitation was, I don't think that the Radvaz was being mechadish to him. Oh, there are areas of halacha that touch on medical issues called Ritzicha and, Pikuach Nevesh B'Shabbos and Achila B'Yom HaKippur. His question is, what is the boundary between the role of the Rav and the role of the doctor? So again, it impacts who to ask and how do we evaluate what they're telling you. Right? So that I think is a very... very, very, very important area. And when we think about the Midos Hadayanim, we want people of generally high levels of information, people of generally high levels of knowledge to be able to handle very serious questions, because knowledge is critical in then synthesizing the empirical information with ultimately what the Torah directs us to do in those situations. And so I think that is the yishuv here. Okay, so we have finished Mir Hashem first period tomorrow, then I'll give you guys some time to prepare for Erev Shabbos. I want to get into an issue, the Kabbalah Satorah, special Friday Shir. I'll give you some time to do Hafana for that. And so, God willing, we'll pick it up here tomorrow.